It's Talkback with Rodney Hine, right here on RCR. Call 0800 2057 57 and have your say.
Now, I have Kayleen on the line. Kayleen, you want to talk fluoride in the Waitaki?
That's right. Hi, my name's Kayleen Huntra, and I recently moved from the Waitaki district because they started fluoridating the water supply. I moved north to the Canterbury district because fluoride causes me medical harm.
Oh, really?
I wrote the Director General of Health. I wrote the Ministry of Health. I went to talk to the local Waitaki District Council numerous times to tell them about the dangers of fluoridating the water, which has now been shown in a federal court case, a ruling that came last week.
Yes.
From the Ninth Circuit in the United States, ruled that fluoridating water is an unjustifiable risk to children and developing brains. And this is important to me because I had a fluoride overdose when I was a child. I lived in an unfluoridated district, and my dentist told my mother, give him fluoride tablets. Fluoride is good for teeth. And the best science at the time said that fluoride helps teeth. We didn't know anything about it being a neurotoxin. And we moved from an unfluoridated district to a fluoridated district, and I kept taking the fluoride tablets, and I was overdosed with fluoride. Many people don't know this, but fluoride is a neurotoxin. And there's no scientific debate on this issue. Every scientist agrees that fluoride is a neurotoxin. The only thing they disagree about is the level of dose. And after I suffered an overdose of fluoride, I've had a lifelong neurological condition, which is aggravated by drinking fluoridated water. And so when the Waitaki District was ordered by the Director General of Health to fluoridate their water supply, there was a huge grassroots community movement. We had hundreds of people protesting on July 25th, in front of Waitaki District Council's hall. We asked for simple, evidence-based questions to be answered. And I put these questions on a website that anyone can read. It's at 5fluoridequestions.nz. It's the numeral 5. You don't spell out 5. You type the number 5, and then fluoridequestions.nz. And these are 5 evidence-based questions with citations and links to scientific studies that I want answered as someone who is being forced to take a medical treatment that causes me harm. To date, the Ministry of Health and Waitaki District Council have all refused to answer these questions. And so now I'm calling you from the Canterbury District, where I just moved my whole family, and we left the Waitaki District because we chose not to drink fluoridated water.
And I see you've got the support of Jim Hotkins, who's a Waitaki District Councillor. I'm on your webpage, 5 questions, 5fluoridequestions.nz, and he says these are reasonable questions. Dr. Safiti should be able to answer them. Fluoride's always been controversial. Dr. Safiti says she wants to inform and educate. Well, it's time she got started. Her silence is deafening. Our community deserves better.
That's right. Commissioner Hopkins has agreed with his local community when they have wanted discussion with the Ministry of Health. We've been asking for someone to talk to us. And so we held information sessions and teach-ins in Oahu because the Ministry of Health wasn't providing any guidance, any information, or any education. Now there's a case in the New Zealand High Court because New Health New Zealand sued the Ministry of Health saying that mandatory water fluoridation is a violation of Section 11 of the New Zealand Bill of Rights. And for your listeners who may not know, Section 11 states any person has the right to refuse any medical treatment. Personally, I refuse this medical treatment. But the Director General claims that under Section 5 of the Bill of Rights, she is allowed to ignore Section 11 because fluoridation is demonstrably justifiable. That's her position. But this court case that just came out of the United States, it took 7 years. The Fluoride Action Network sued the Environmental Protection Agency and said, fluoridation has all of these health risks. We have all these new studies that show it negatively affects brain development. The National Toxicology Program in the United States just finished an enormous meta-analysis of 55 different studies to determine, is fluoride toxic? And the overwhelming conclusion was that fluoride negatively impacts IQ in developing brains. So let me put this simply. Drinking fluoride makes you dumber. That's what the evidence says. Dr. Sarfati, the Director General of Health for New Zealand, claims that she still has the right to violate Section 11 of the New Zealand Bill of Rights and force people to take a mandated medical treatment that does no good for most of the population. The only people who see any alleged benefit from water fluoridation are children from about 5 to 10 years old. There's a range where supposedly ingesting fluoride improves dental outcomes. But one of my five questions for the Ministry of Health is, why are rates of dental decay so similar in Canterbury, which is unfluoridated, and Auckland, which is fluoridated? There was an Auckland dentist by the name of Dr. John Cahoon. He was the principal dental officer at the end of the 90s. And he was a fierce advocate of fluoride. And he went on a world tour telling people all around the world that fluoride was great. And before he left, he said, hey, I want some data. I want to use the New Zealand dental records to demonstrate conclusively that fluoridated water improves dental outcomes. And they couldn't get the data quite right. The Ministry of Health said, go on the tour, come back, and we'll have the data for you. And so he went all around the world telling people how great fluoride is. And he came back, and he looked in the nation's dental records, and he could not find the evidence that conclusively proved that drinking fluoride improves dental outcomes. And so he switched sides. He famously said, I changed my position on water fluoridation. He was New Zealand's foremost expert in fluoridation, and he changed his mind because he looked in the evidence of the nation's dental records, and he could not find proof that drinking fluoride increases dental outcomes. And
that should have been it, right?
For the rest of his life.
That should have been it.
It should have been it. But, you know, New Zealand has been behind on things like removing lead from paint and fuel. They didn't do that until 1996. And so, once again, I fear that New Zealand is behind the times. 98% of Europe does not fluoridate their water. They know that it is a hazard that causes more risks than benefits. And until the Director General can demonstrate that given these new risks that we now know happen when you fluoridate a water supply, if she can't compare those risks to the alleged benefits and demonstrate that the risks are worth the rewards, I don't think that she deserves the right to medicate us against our will.
No, I agree. Totally agree. And Jim Hopkins is onto it. Tell me this. Can you do anything yourself, personally, to get the fluoride removed from the water for at where you live? Like if they fluoridate the water, say you're living in Waitaki, do you find there's anything that will work?
You can use water filtration systems that do remove some amount of the fluoride. But if you go out to coffee, you're getting unfluoridated water, or you're getting fluoridated. If you go out to eat, if you're watering your garden, if you're growing your own food, that fluoride goes onto the water. It's in the water that you're washing your dishes with. And you get it. So, but the big problem isn't just the fluoride. It's the toxic metals that are with the fluoride. Mm. Many people don't know this, but what they use to fluoridate the water supply is not the naturally occurring fluoride that's found in nature. What they use is called hydrofluorosilicic acid. It's a toxic waste byproduct of the production of chemical fertilizer. It costs $1,000 a barrel to dispose of this toxic waste. If you go to ChemWaste in Christchurch, they'll charge you $1,000 a barrel to dispose of this toxic waste. It's so toxic, you can't release it into the environment because it causes an environmental hazard. But industry doesn't have to pay $1,000 a barrel if they're getting paid $1,000 a barrel by district councils to add it to the water supply. So there's a financial incentive. But the big problem is that hydrofluorosilicic acid has toxic metal contaminants. And according to water.org.nz, the industry association for water professionals in New Zealand, they say that hydrofluorosilicic acid has maximum acceptable values. These are MAVs. They know there's a pollutant up to a certain amount that's acceptable for uranium, lead, mercury, cadmium, and all of these hazardous materials that are being proactively added to our water supply. Now, I know the Ministry of Health can say we don't have any evidence that at these low levels they cause damage, but they're also not looking for the evidence because they don't want to find the evidence.
Tell me, Kaylin, for you now, having been exposed to fluoride and being sensitive to it, if you take fluoride in the water, is it an immediate response or is it just a long-term effect that you worry about?
Well, personally, I'll just share from my own lived experience. I moved to the Waitaki district partially because they didn't fluoridate their water supply. I lived there for 45 days after fluoridation, and I had my first epileptic seizure in 3 years. Yeah. I had lived there seizure-free for 3 years. And a month and a half after they started adding fluoride to the water supply, despite me having lots of filters and not going out to eat and not going out for coffee very much, I had an epileptic seizure. What I have noticed in the different places I've lived around the world is when I live in a community that fluoridates their water supply, my seizures get worse. Fluoride causes me medical harm. And because of mandatory fluoridation of an entire district, I don't have the ability to opt out of this forced medical treatment. And I think everyone should have the ability to say what does and doesn't go into their own body. I'm a believer in bodily autonomy, that we all have the right to decide what we want to come into our bodies. And with forced water fluoridation, it violates the Nuremberg Code.
Yes.
The first principle of the Nuremberg Code is the voluntary consent of the patient is absolutely essential. And if the Ministry of Health wants to violate the Nuremberg Code and violate Section 11 of the Bill of Rights, there needs to be a higher standard of evidence. We need to have more conversation.
It's pretty shocking that we have the Director General of Health forcing councils to medicate the population. We have a citizen whose health is badly affected by his own account by this medication. You write to the Director General of Health asking five simple questions, can't answer, won't answer.
Yeah, it's shocking.
It is truly shocking. It is absolutely shocking because you would always, before mandating something like this, err on the side of absolute and total caution.
That's shocking.
Okay, Kaylin. Now, just to let you know and listeners know, we've got Mary Byrne coming on Thursday. She can only make Wednesday, so I have a pre-record. She's from Fluoride Free New Zealand, and she will be picking up on that court case, and she's going to give us chapter and verse on that. So you may want to tune into that, Kaylin. In the meantime, I apologise to you because it's truly shocking how our civil service and our politicians are treating you with such contempt?
Well, it's a conversation that they don't want to have, because I think any reasonable person who looks at the evidence and listens to both sides comes to the obvious conclusion that medicating people against their will with this medical treatment that has so many risks and hazards is untenable. You know, the outcome of the court case, and Mary will get into the details with you on this later this week, the judge ruled that the EPA's own guidelines state that there has to be a buffer between the level at which there is shown to be harm and the level at which we are willing to expose people to this potential harm. And that multiple is 10x. There has to be a buffer of 10x. And we have, the National Toxicology Program has conclusively shown that there is damage to children's developing brains at 1.5 parts per million.
There you go.
New Zealand is aiming to fluoridate at 1 part per million. But by the EPA's own guidelines, the maximum safe level of adding fluoride to the water supply is 0.15 parts per million. It's a fraction of the amount that we're currently adding. And so using the math that was developed during this court case, where they found 0.283 parts per million equates to a drop of 1 IQ point. Jeez. That means that in New Zealand, right now, with the amount that's added, that is being added to the water, fluoride is responsible for a drop of 4 IQ points.
There you go. Kaylin, I thank you for your call. We're on board, totally on board. So we'll do
Thanks
more
for having
on this.
Me on. I publicly challenged Dr. Diana Sarfati to answer these 5 questions that are at 5fluoridequestions.nz.
Yes.
And what I really want is a half-hour recorded Zoom consultation. Since she's the doctor prescribing this treatment to
Absolutely.
Me, I just want to ask her these 5 questions and then ask her follow-up questions on her answers. And if she can't provide that level of consultation, I don't think she deserves the authority to prescribe us medications and force us to take them that we don't want.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Kaylin. I'll email her from my show, and I'll say that we've got a lot of listeners that are keen on this, and we'll invite her on for you to ask the questions.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to have a conversation with her about these 5 questions on your show.
I've got a lazy $5 that says she won't. Hey, Kaylin, good
she
talking, and I'm
will,
sorry to hear.
Is there any other doctor or dentist out there that wants to talk with me on your show about this? The offer's open.
Great.
Anybody can discuss 5 answers to these 5 questions with me.
Great. Okay, Kaylin. Lovely to hear from you, and I wish you every success.
Thanks so much.
I'll email her directly. Okay, buddy. Talk soon.
Talkback is now live with media legend Peter Williams.
That's me.
Peter, you were the turning point for my son when the mandates rolled out.
And everyone's favourite former politician, Rodney Hyde.
Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm never better. I've never been this excited in my life.
Don't miss out. Call 0800-205757 between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays on Reality Check Radio.